Dwayne Brummett here again with Allie Alberigo, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Allie, nice to be with you again, sir.
Yeah, nice to be with you as well. And, you know, it's amazing how close we are to the holidays. It seems like the year has just, like, flown by like that.
It definitely has. Now, tell me and tell the listeners about your trip that you had this weekend, if you would.
Oh, well, you know, it was interesting. I was down in Florida, and I was traveling, visiting Apollo Ladra, who's a good friend of mine. He does a Cali for Kids program, and I spoke at his convention/seminar with all his instructor training schools and so on. So that was really cool. And then, I got stuck in a parade, so to speak, of all of the most incredible exotic cars, which was torture for me. So I was stuck for like 30 minutes as every car that I've ever dreamed of and wanted and wished for had driven past me, from Bugattis to Bentleys to Ferraris to Lamborghinis to Ford GT40s and Vipers and Gullwing Mercedes. It was quite insane, but it was amazing. Just a beautiful sight to see. There's probably $1 billion in cars that drove past me. It was insane, but amazing. But beautiful weather and a great place, visited family, and just a nice time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got to get a sneak preview before I talked to you this week because a friend of mine who lives down there, Daniel Griska, he went to the Cali seminar.
Oh, right.
It was a fantastic seminar, yeah.
Yeah, you know what's funny? He said to me, he says, oh, we have a friend in common. I'm like, who? He's like, oh, Dwayne Brummett. I'm like, oh, man. You know, so that is such a small world, you know, and getting to meet people. And what a nice guy, too. And he says that you guys have done some work together and you know each other and so on. So it's exciting, right? I mean, the martial arts, even though it's such a vast world, it's got a very small spider web, so to speak, of people. You know, if I know you, you know someone else, eventually, you know, we're gonna know someone that's good friends with each other, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Hey, I know today we kind of wanted to talk about high-class problems. And
yeah.
I was talking with an individual today about this and, you know, trying to define to her, I was talking with her about high-class problems. And, you know, one of the things, and I'd like to get your feedback on this because you and I have never talked about this before, at least to my knowledge, but you know, we were talking about, she was asking about square footage with regards to, you know, your studio and things like that. You know, when is the time to move to a bigger school is kind of what we were talking about. And
right.
That, to me, falls under the category of high-class problems, meaning that, you know, you're getting busier. But I told her, I said, you have to be careful about moving to a bigger location sooner than you need to. And I said, you first, and I'd like your feedback on this, you first need to make sure that you are utilizing your floor space and your schedule to the best of your ability before you even go and expand in square footage, because sometimes,
right.
You know, you can finagle things in your schedule or your square footage in order to utilize it to the, you know, the best of its ability before you should even go pay more in rent. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, well, let me ask you this. I mean, what is your, well, I'll answer that, and I'm sure that you'll chime in as far as your thoughts if there are any different. I know that we kind of think alike in this regard, so I guess I can kind of answer for us a little, but tell me if you think I'm wrong. It really all depends, and here's the problem. You know the old saying where people would say, what are you going to do when you grow up, kind of question that you're asked as a young child, and, you know, what are you going to go to school for, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And quite often people grow up not knowing what they really truly want, and it's about self-discovery. And I'm not getting esoteric, but the real question that I have for the listeners is, what is the model that they want for their school? And quite often, that's not that easy of a question, is it? You know, like, what is the model? And Apollo and I spoke about this at his convention down there, and saying, like, okay, is the model lower cost tuition, large volume students? Is it high cost tuition, lower volume of students and less stress You know, what is the model that they're looking for as a school owner? That's the real question. So to answer your question is that, you know, it really all depends. Like, I mean, I have had clients that I've done with 1,200 square foot facilities that were doing, you know, $35,000 to $40,000 a month, and they were profiting, you know, probably $30,000 of that. So their overhead was very low, their stress level was very low, and they were making high profit. So what are your thoughts on that so far?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I've got no qualms against that. I guess, you know, what I was saying with regard to that was, you know, when I first started, I was telling you, you know, when we first started, we ran it like a one-room schoolhouse because all I had was white belts, right? You know, from there, when I finally had from, let's say, white to red belts and it started to get a little bit, you know, more congested, it was a little bit harder to teach white belts at the same time as teaching red belts. So I switched to an upper level and a lower level class.
Right.
And then from there, I switched to when we grew again, you know, in the what was it, like a 1,500 foot facility that we had before. And I think the training space was like maybe 900 square foot.
Right.
You know, we did three different belt levels. So then I opened it up to like a beginner's class, an intermediate class, and an advanced class. I still
right.
only had a one room schoolhouse for adults because that really wasn't my model. I was really mainly, you know, searching for kids. And it's still to this
right.
day, I do the same thing. I mainly search for kids, but I do have two different adult classes now that we've grown. But I said, you know, until we maximize all of the space for the whole duration of the evening, I didn't believe that it was time to actually open up and get a bigger space. I guess
absolutely.
That's where I was coming from.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with you a million percent on that. I quite often talk people out of expanding because, you know, of course, it's a little bit of an ego trip, and I've had it too where I wanted the biggest school. I wanted to have a, you know, a facility that had multiple rooms and, you know, showers. And, you know, that's all part of a dream of what you want. You know, you want to have the IBM office building that's 20 stories tall and, you know, all of that stuff, right? But however, I've lived both of those scenarios. Like I had a 1,250 square foot school that I owned personally that I had in that school before I moved out and bought my own building. I had 250 students out of it. And I was doing like, you know, $32,000 a month probably at the time. And I think my whole total overhead and cost was about $4,000 a month. Full cost. So I was netting like $27,000 to $28,000 a month.
Right.
So it really all depends, you know. I mean, I would have if it were me, you know, and I could go back in time, I might have stayed there and kept stocking that money away. You know, I did. I bought a building. I paid it in full, and I did all this other stuff. However, you know what? I mean, I look at it now going like, okay, but now I'm still in that building. I'm still paying taxes. I'm still paying upkeep and rent and oil and all this other stuff, you know, for, you know, whatever, not rent, but, you know, oil, electricity, cable. But anyway, I mean, I might have stayed in that facility situation where I was making all that money and just stocking it in the bank.
Right. Yeah,
so,
I know.
So
like,
Go ahead. No.
No, I just know before we moved into the current place that we're at, that we do have two training floors. I mean, that's kind of where I was at, where we were bursting at the seams, but I wanted to make sure that we maximized our space to the fullest potential before we moved. You know, and you
right.
know this year, I mean, the listeners probably don't know, but you know this year I had an opportunity to buy or rent the space that was next door to me
right.
and block another person out who's in the fitness business. And fortunately for us, you know, again, they didn't move in there anyways, but I decided not to take the space just because, you know, it wasn't the right thing to do was to buy it just
right.
so that I could block the person out and
right.
not have a program. But I mean, we're at 200, by the end of last month, we are 282 students.
Right.
And, you know, really we could use a third training floor, but it would only be used part of the time. And I don't want to be paying full time for a part time place, if that makes sense. So
no, it totally. And I remember you and I discussing this, and I asked you that question. You know, is it going to be worth the money that you lay out for the extra space? Will you make that money back? You know, is it worth it to pay for it to block someone out? And all the things you had just said. And you know, by the way, for the listeners, there are many ways to create space within your school. Now, I'll tell you a quick story. Like when my teacher who taught American Ninjutsu, his name was Shion Felix Vasquez. He was an incredible martial artist, or not was, is. And he used to say things, and when I was younger, of course, I knew everything. And, you know, now I'm finding out that I didn't know nearly as much as I think I know now. You know, but I still don't know much. But he would say things like, I'm going to build a dojo within a dojo. And I'd kind of shake my head going, like, this guy's crazy. But then he would go and he would take a lunch spot from 12 to 1. And over the next 6 weeks, he'd bang out flyers. And all of a sudden, it'd be packed with women from the area and doctors and lawyers and people that could only train from 12 to 1. And he would literally go, you see, I built a dojo within a dojo. And I'm like, that's what he meant by that. So, you know, there are many ways to expand schedule. Like, for example, in my school, I had an A-B schedule. And people still to this day don't understand the concept. So, and I know you have already done this, right? But I was packed with little warriors, 3 to 5 year olds. I offered it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I had like 50 kids, you know. So any class could have had anywhere from 0 to 50 kids in it. So I said, you know what, my maximum capacity for that age group is probably about 30 kids. So I said, if I make it an A-B schedule, A schedule Monday, Wednesday, B schedule Tuesday, Thursday, Friday as a makeup for either A or B days by appointment only, I was able to take my maximum capacity of 30-some-odd students and say, okay, I could double that. Immediately, the click in my fingers, because people were only doing 2 days a week anyway, they just had to choose now. And that was the difference. And I had that extra Friday flexibility, but it was by appointment only, so I could always say, you know what, we have 30 people already. We can't have more for this Friday. However, I never really had to really do that because it was never that crowded. So anyway, I now doubled my capacity because if I could fit 30 on the floor, you know at any given time you're not going to have 100% of your attendance show up. So I was able to sell 40 people on the A day, 40 people on the B day, so now I had 80 people when I was packed with 50. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's the best use of your time and space.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, now some people would go, I have to expand. I got to buy, rent, get the next 45,000 square foot facility, you know, with two stories and hire multiple instructors and yada, 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 all because it's a little bit ego-driven. And so with that being said, I personally got around that by being able to not worry so much and you know, saying, okay, well, I can make that happen, you know, and I could do that without changing anything other than scheduling. Now, you could do that with every one of your schedules. I still do A-B schedules with my Mighty Warriors, but I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday with a Saturday, and then I do Tuesday, Thursday, Friday with a Saturday. So there's one day that there's a multitude of people in one class, and the other days are broken up in A and Bs. So it's pretty interesting, right? So when you look at that, that's how we have high-class problems, right, like you were saying.
Yeah, and it takes, you know, just some time to sit back and don't get emotional about your high-class problems. There's a way to solve it, and if you just sit back and think about it, you can come up or, you know, call another school owner and talk it over with him or her. In fact, I've got another high class problem that I want to talk to you about anyways.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, we had tell the listeners about the Karate for Christmas that I do, and you're doing it as well. And our best year ever that we did Karate for Christmas, we sold 29 Karate for Christmases at $50 a pop. Well,
right.
This year, you're going to just be amazed. I'm amazed. But this year so far to date, and today is the 12th of December, so there's 2 days left, we've sold 64 Karate for Christmases.
That's crazy. And now let me point out to the listeners, too, that one, I'm holding up my quote fingers, but borrowed your idea. And then I ran with it a little and did some other stuff and kind of got motivated off your idea. And then you then, I guess, took some of that energy and got motivated to push even further with your idea. And so now I was able to say, okay, this is what we're doing. And now you really nailed it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever beat that, but I'm so excited. But here's the problem, okay? It's a high-class problem. But here's the problem.
Right.
Everybody, 64 of those people. So let's say we sell no more, right? 64 of those people are going to start within the first 2 days that we open back up after New Year's. So whatever that is, the 5th and 6th of, you know, whatever that Monday and Tuesday is. So here's my dilemma, okay? Here's my dilemma. We're going to have most of those individuals are starting on Tuesday as opposed to Monday. More people are enjoying the Tuesday time actually works better, right? The Tuesday, Thursday time works better. And so I have two classes that start at 6 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday. One in my front room with for kids, the other
right.
one for the teenagers and adults in the back room. So I have right now to date at least 40 individuals that'll be starting that night on Tuesday, right? And
right.
they already have their waivers and they got to fill them out and bring them back in and what have you. But the process is when they come in, I mean, we've got to teach them how to do the time cards. We got to take their picture. We got to get them acclimated. How do we do that with 40 people? I have some ideas, but I wanted to shoot that past you and see what you thought.
Well, you know what? Any time that, you know, first off, it's a great problem to have. You know, secondly, I mean, it's all about, you know, the how you build. Like, for example, there's people who will do exclusive sign-up days, and then there are people that do group sign-up days. I personally love group classes, group initiations, and all of that stuff, but you just got to create it so that it becomes part of the excitement around the enrollment, if that makes sense. So that, to me, is maybe you can automate it to some extent, sort of like a college brings people in for their orientation, in a group orientation, and they take 30 people on a group tour, and they show them the whole entire facility together, and then they walk them out onto the floor, and they do this mass kind of introduction. I think that, to some extent, that chaos or that energy or that, you know, insanity, controlled insanity, because that's, you know, that's important, is that that's what will make people excited about being in the program. They see that as, wow, this is the place to be. Look how cool it is. I got to join this school kind of mentality. Does that make sense?
It does. And that's what I was thinking. We were kind of talking about this as a staff, me and my program director and my head instructor. And actually, my program director is the one that came up with the idea of the Saturday before we open, back up from the break, having an orientation session and, you know, having them come in and we have cookies and drinks and just making a whole event out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I thought, wow, that might be, because we've never done that before. So, but making an event out of it and actually teaching them some of the basics, like having a full-fledged hour-long, you know, class slash introductory session slash, you know, tour.
Yeah, like almost like, you know, like I said before, like a college, you know, the first week of college where the parents drop the kids off and they have sample classes and tables set up and information booths and things of that nature. I mean, that might be good, Dwayne, for you to have, you know, a table set up for your black belt club or your leadership team, and then have some leadership team people there talking to the parents about it, almost like a full-fledged orientation.
Yeah, right? I like that analogy.
Yeah, yeah, people are coming down, and, you know, they're getting to see it. And then, you know, having your population, your students, the people that are in your school as a part of that whole process, you know, so that they're like, oh, they get to meet these kids who are – products of your leadership team. You know, they get to meet people who are in the Black Belt Club, maybe do a few little demonstrations and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. And that's, I like the whole event idea too. You know, like you said, when kids, our parents bring their kids to the orientation for college, I think that that's a perfect analogy. I like that.
Yeah, and you know what? That is basically, as you know, what you know, what basically is going to not only educate them on what they're going to be doing in the future, but it also will, and I don't want to use the word sell them, but, you know, sell them on the program, right? It'll get them to understand the value in it, you know, and why you're so popular and why the school is doing so well, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, can you imagine, you know, 40 or 50 people coming in for orientation that day? I mean, how crazy.
Yeah, I would love it. I think that's amazing. I mean, that's a great thing. I think my staff would go crazy, but at the same time, I think it's a super awesome problem to have.
So any other high-class problems that you've had to solve?
Well, you know what?
You know, I know we're running out of time here, but.
My thing was, my biggest problem that I've ever had to solve was my AB schedule problem, which was easily, you know, solved, you know, by just switching it up. I did get some resistance here and there. The other thing is, you know, like what I find, and this is interesting because on the opposite end of the spectrum, it's kind of a little bit a pain in the butt. But when you're busy and you're hopping and popping and there's craziness and a lot of people through the door, you tend to sign up more people. When it's like a ghost town and people are not really coming in and, you know, you have one person on the floor with one trial class, it's a lot harder to create that energy. So, you know, I've always been lucky by having a lot of helpers and a lot of assistant instructors and always having that energy on the floor. And, you know, that's another thing. That's one thing that I've been lucky about is to have that mass amount of people coming through the door on a regular basis.
Yeah, let me give another example too. We had and I think I spoke with you about this. I don't know if we talked about this last year when I did it, but we had a women's self-defense class that we did last year, right? And it was November 1st. That's a Friday of last year, okay? And so we advertised it. We took 4 weeks to advertise it. We had it on the radio. We did Facebook. We did flyers to our own people. I did posters to business owners, had them put them out, and asked some of the business owners that I know to shoot some emails out. One of the insurance companies here in town, Cigna, I know one of the ladies that works there, and they have a lot of women that work there. And I said, hey, would Cigna be interested in sending, you know, this out to, you know, their people? I mean, it's a paid one, but their people need to know how to protect themselves too. And the whole seminar was, it's $20 for 2 hour women's self-defense, and you get to bring a friend for free. Well, the funny thing was, is they sent out the email, but they forgot to put the link in it. So they had to send it out again, which was perfect, which was beautiful, because now it doubled our chances of getting people to actually look at it, read it, and click on it, right?
Right.
So, because we got a lot of people from Cigna. Well, all in all, the day of, here's the high class problem. The day of, we had 108 people come. It was crazy. I'm like, I have a 4,200 square foot facility. My front training room is only 1,200 square foot. My back training room is, I think, 1,500 square foot. I had a line going out the door. I mean, you talk about crazy. So here's what I did, right? Check this out. I had 60 people in, like, the back room and 40 people in the front room, whatever the split was, you know, something like that. And so I in the front room, I introduced myself and taught the first move, and I had my staff going around, you know, going over the move with them, and then I went to and I had my microphone on, and in the back room, they could only hear me through the microphone. In the front room, they would actually hear me and see me. And then I went to the back room, and it had already been demonstrated. While I was demonstrating it, there was two people in the back room demonstrating it as if it were me talking and demonstrating. And that's how we did it. I floated back and forth, but I'd always demonstrate and speak in the front room, but my microphone was on and it would hear me they would hear me through the stereo system in the back room. It was amazing. But that was the only way we could make it work, because I couldn't be in two places at once.
Yeah. And you know what? There you go. And you know what? There's some people that may get frustrated and shut down and not know what to do and being nervous and, you know, blow it, so to speak, when in reality, you know, you're just rolling with the punches, using common sense,
making things work, and you know, good for you. And again, you know, a high class problem to have, right? Something where, you know, most school owners would love to just have that opportunity. But you know what? You create them, right? So that's another thing I want to point out to the listeners, that, you know, you're not just, these things aren't just sneaking up on you. You're not just lucky. You're coming up with these ideas and making them happen. So, you know, that's great. And I hope the listeners understand that. So it's up to you, the listeners, to make a difference and make it happen.
Yeah, and I want to point out, you know, not every event explodes like that. I mean, I did do that on November 1st. Well, then I tried to do another one in March, I think, right after that, and I only had like 56 people.
Right. But 56 is still amazing as well.
It is. It is. But can I throw this little side note out that I think is a golden nugget?
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't want to just have the women's self-defense class and stop with that. My goal, anytime I do an event, I want to make at least $1,000 on the event. And so what I did, you know, having 50 people sign up at $20, that's your $1,000, right?
Right.
And then they brought a friend for free. Well, then I just like we do in our regular martial arts program, you know, you have your regular program and then your upgrades. So what I did was I had a 2-page sales letter on the next level of training for them. So, hey, if you liked this, you thought this was great, well, wait until you see this. Well, then what that was is that's a 3-hour self-defense course. I was only taking 20 people. That's it. Because I figured out of 100 people, if I could get 20% to say yes, that would be perfect, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I did. I filled that with the upgrade. You know, I upgraded 20 people at $50 a head. There was my next $1,000, and I did that the month later. So I did that on I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks later in December.
Wow.
Now, with the one that I did in March, I did the same exact thing, and I figured, okay, I can get 10-20%, and I did. I got 12 people out of the 56 that came to that event. I got 12 people to come in and do the upgraded program. So it's not enough, and I just want to throw that out there to the listeners. It's not enough just to, you know, jam a program and do it, but have a back end in almost everything that you do. Not everything,
yeah,
but almost everything that you do.
You know, it's funny that you say this, because, well, it's not funny, it's awesome that you're saying this, because I my theme of today's coaching, and I told you before, I've been coaching since 7 a.m. this morning. It's now 4:02 p.m. You and I are on the call. I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is my 10th call with you today, that I've been on the phone literally for 9-10 straight hours. So, but my theme of the day was about my clients understanding that everything is connected, just like you said, like what's on the back end. So, like, for example, if we're going to do an event, we should be thinking, how can we tie retail into that event? What can we do from that event that will generate students? What can we do with that event that will retain students and create an upgrade funnel? You know, so those people just run an event. Meanwhile, we should be thinking in multiple layers every time we do everything, so that we're not just wasting our time and spinning our wheels in one area only, but we're thinking, you know, with ancillary type of items going on.
Yep. Well, can I tie into
that? Sure, absolutely.
All right. So when they do the next level course, right, they do the second step level, they actually get – and I do the same exact thing every single time, they get access to an online curriculum for that, where they get the videos of everything that we went over in that class. Now, here's the next deal, is that online on there, and by the way, let me back up and say, in the original 2-hour class, I showed them just a snippet at the end. I showed them just a snippet of what they were going to get in the next level class. Well, In the next level class, I show them a little snippet of some bonus videos that they're going to get to see online when they log in. Well, when they log in, they get all the videos, all the techniques that they went over that day. But then there's some bonus videos, and inside those bonus videos are for different avenues. Like I have one bonus video that goes over how to defend against impact weapons, right? So
right.
A club, a tire iron, whatever. Well, that whole course is video-based, and they have to buy it online. And then once they buy it, boom, it's right in that housing that they have.
Right.
The other video is on knives. How do you defend against knives? Boom, it's right in there. And then guns, same thing. Boom, that's in there. And so I have taken them from a $20 all the way to the $50, and then from the $50, they can upgrade to get the next video for I don't remember exactly the price point. I think it's $30 each one.
Okay, awesome.
So yeah, so rather than having them trying to get them to come back for the and then also by the way, they can purchase the guns and the knives and the impact weapons right on the website, and we mail it to them.
Right. Wow. Yeah, you know what? I absolutely love it. I think that, you know, again, it's really how you're thinking in layers, right? You're thinking in more of a diagram. You know, you take this part and you connect it to that part, and before you know it, you have this big shelf built, you know, kind of concept. And that's what we have to do with our businesses. Quite often we run an event and we're done. We do a test and that's it. You know, we're not thinking like, how do all of these things tie together? How do we supersize it, so to speak? How do we connect it together so that people are getting the most bang for their buck and they're seeing the most stuff that they need?
Yes, and of course, I mean, I'm trying to get them to come in and be a karate student as well, of course. Or if they
right.
have kids, want their kids to come in. So, and
right.
we haven't even talked about that yet, but yeah, that's inside there. So. I know we got to end the call, but I just want to tell everybody, if you have a high-class problem, again, just sit back, think about how to solve it. Thank you for the analogy, by the way. Thank you for the analogy on the college visit. I like that. I think that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I'd love to hear more about it. And hey, maybe you should videotape it, and we could present it somehow, or show it to our listeners on the blog somehow.
Yeah, you know what? I got video cameras in the school, so I won't have to videotape it. It'll all be videotaped. I would just have to take it and edit it and stuff like that.
Yeah,
there'd be no sound to it, but I mean, at least they can kind of see how it runs, and we could, of course, talk about it.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Well, very cool, Dwayne. Awesome call. Always great talking to you and, motivational. And thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge and information with the listeners. And I appreciate being on the line with you.
Yeah, my pleasure. And I thank you for your input and sharing with me. I mean, like you said, we play off of each other and we motivate each other. So I appreciate it. Guys, get out there and make things happen in your business, even though it's the end of the year. One last tip I want to tell you, go back and anybody that you have on your list that are leads or prospects that have not signed up with you, call them between, you know, anybody for the last 3 months at least, call them, physically make a phone call, do a phone call dialer, to them and give them some irresistible offer to start at the beginning of the year. So especially if you haven't done the karate for Christmas, right? Give them some sort of irresistible offer. Maybe it's, you know, train for the first 2 months for free or whatever. I don't know. But come up with some sort of offer that fits your model. And you can start out with a new year with some, you know, people in your school and some action happening.
Right, right. I love that. That's a great idea. That's really good. Listeners, take advantage of that.
All right, Allie, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, Dwayne. Great talking to you. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye.